Good morning. Let's open our Bibles together this morning to Philippians chapter 4. As Dave mentioned, Pastor Chuck will be covering the fourth chapter of Philippians this evening, and this morning we're going to be looking together at verses 4 through 8. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Let me read them to you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, think on these things. We are living in what some have labeled the age of anxiety. And the statistics seem to support that label. 18.8 million American adults suffer from clinical depression. 35 million Americans suffer from depression severe enough to warrant treatment. 19.1 million Americans between the ages 18 and 54 suffer from anxiety disorder, and vice versa. Those who suffer from anxiety generally suffer from depression. Those who suffer from depression generally suffer from anxiety. Solomon said, anxiety in the heart of man brings depression. And from the merely human perspective, these statistics are easily understandable because there is much in our world to be anxious over and depressed about. And it just seems like things are escalating. It seems that quite rapidly things are going from bad to worse. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. We have the ongoing issue of terrorism. We are threatened by nuclear and biological warfare. It seems that we're seeing an increase in natural disasters. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, typhoons, tsunamis, fires, famine, pestilence, plagues, viruses. And many people are living in fear and in anxiety that perhaps they will be some of the next victims of these kinds of things. Of course, there are the economic woes that we are beginning to experience. We are living in what they call presently an energy crisis. And then on the personal level, many people are dealing with health problems. Many people are dealing with problems within their family. Children going astray, getting into trouble, and increasing the burden upon their parents. We have challenges and difficulties in life, and really the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, quite honestly, if you really sit and think too much about these things, it can lead to anxiety in the heart. I personally have gone to checking out the news about twice a week now. That's about all I can handle. Because I find that if I spend a whole lot of time like I used to reading the various news reports and all of that. I find that I'm uptight. I start to develop kind of an anxiety over all of these things. And I have found that it's much better to spend my time reading God's word than reading about all of the difficulties and challenges that are going on in the world today. But here's the question. Are we destined to live anxious and depressed lives? Because there isn't any real indication that things are going to improve anytime in the near future. But the answer to the question is an emphatic no. We do not have to live lives full of anxiety. We do not have to live in a state of depression. God has a cure for anxiety and depression, and it's found right here in the verses that we read together. And in these verses, Paul lays out 4 points which are somewhat like a doctor's prescription. If you go to the doctor today and you tell him that describe your symptoms, whatever they might be, then of course he's going to give you a checkup and then he's going to prescribe something. And as you take that prescription and you go through the regimen that he prescribes, then hopefully the idea is that you're going to be alleviated of the symptoms. If we are experiencing anxiety, if we're experiencing depression, God says, in a sense, I've got a prescription for you. Here's what you do. And if you will do this, then those symptoms will be alleviated. That anxiety will be replaced with peace. That depression will be replaced with joy. And so in the verses that we read, these are basically the 4 points. Number one, we are told what we're not to do. Secondly, we are told what we are to do. Thirdly, we are told what God will do. And then fourthly, we are told what we will then be freed up to do. And so let's look at each one of those points in order. The first thing, what are we told not to do? Well, we read here, be careful for nothing, but more literally, the word is be anxious for nothing. And the idea is that kind of anxiousness that we would describe today as anxiety. And perhaps you know that feeling. You know, anxiety is it's a very uncomfortable feeling. It's a feeling that races through your whole body. Of course, most of what's supplying the anxiety is going on in your head, but it actually affects us physically. And we get these feelings of anxiousness, and maybe your heart is palpitating. Maybe you're a bit jittery, but you have these waves of anxiety that come upon you as you're perhaps thinking about a situation that you're involved in, as you're anticipating a problem that might be coming your way, or maybe something that you're currently involved in. What do we do when we find ourselves faced with these kinds of situations? Well, we're not to be anxious. And this is something that is repeated for us over and over again in the scriptures. And I love the passage that we read together this morning, because the gist of that passage, of course, has to do with this whole issue of anxiety and worry and fear and depression. Jesus, of course, knowing that this is the tendency that we have, but he is wanting us to understand that although these things are perfectly understandable for the, as the Bible refers to them, as the Gentiles, which is another way of talking about those who don't know the Lord, those who don't believe in Him, those who are not trusting that He is there with them. Although these are normal experiences for them, Jesus is saying it's not to be the case with you. And why is that? It's because we have a Heavenly Father who cares about us. We have someone who is watching over us. And so Jesus said there, you remember, take no thought for your life. And the idea there is take no anxious thought for your life. Don't be anxious about these things. Now, of course, we all have to think about the future. We have to plan for the future to some degree and so forth. And that's fine. And that's acceptable. But it's when we become anxious about it. As we're looking at the current economic situation, as we're looking at the change in the political atmosphere in the country, as we're seeing a lot of different things happening, there can be this feeling of anxiousness. Oh, but what are we going to do about this? And what happens if that goes in that direction there? And what if things don't work out the way we thought? These are the kinds of things that Jesus is saying not to engage in. Take no anxious thought for your life. In Psalm 37, we are told not to fret. And we're told not to fret because it only causes harm. Fretting causes harm. The number one contributor to ailments today, physical ailments, is stress. It seems like more people today are receiving a stress diagnosis than ever before. All kinds of weird symptoms and things going on. You go to the doctor and he checks you out and, you know, runs a bunch of tests and everything, comes back and says, you're stressed. That's the diagnosis. And that's right. That's what's happening. And that's what the scripture says. Don't fret because it causes harm. It causes bodily harm to us. You might say, oh, but you don't understand my situation. My situation warrants anxiety. I have a justifiable cause for worry. It says, be anxious for nothing. You know, there's no exceptions to this. It doesn't say, you know, that there are a few things that are understandably things that will cause this. And under these particular circumstances, this is allowable. No, God says, regardless of whatever it is, He says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I don't know necessarily or understand all that others are going through. I know some of the things that I'm going through. I know the difficulties and the challenges there. But the thing that we have to remember is that God knows. He knows all things. He knows what we're going through. And with His perfect knowledge of all things, He says to us, do not worry. So this is the first thing in the prescription. To be anxiety free. First thing, we are not to be anxious. But then what are we to do? Well, He lays it out for us here, beginning in verse 4 with rejoice in the Lord. So here's the options. I can look at the situation that I'm in. I can start thinking about where things might go. I can be filled with anxiety and fear, or I can stop going down that road and I can just begin to rejoice in the Lord. You see, the wonderful thing about the Lord is that He never changes. He's always the same. We sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness. And God is faithful. He's always been faithful. He's proven Himself faithful all throughout history for those who trust in Him. And I love the passage in Isaiah that declares, they that wait upon the Lord shall never be put to shame. Or another translation is, they that wait upon the Lord shall never be disappointed. I love that. We'll never be disappointed waiting on the Lord because the Lord is faithful. And he's the same. So rather than be filled with anxiety, rather than be filled with worry, I'm really to be filled with praise. I'm to just start rejoicing in the Lord, knowing that there's no circumstance he's not aware of. There's no circumstance he's not able to overcome. Knowing that he loves me, knowing that he has a plan for my life, and knowing that even though I can't really understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, that God is using these things to do something good in me. So we are to, first of all, rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, he says that we are to pray. With prayer and supplication. The difference between prayer and supplication is really, in a sense, sort of one of intensity. Prayer is calling out to the Lord. Supplication is crying out to the Lord. And this is how we overcome anxiety. This is how we overcome worry. We need to cry out to the Lord. As the Lord said through Jeremiah, cry to me and I will answer you. And we need to cry out to him. And sometimes we need to cry out to him 100 times a day. You know, sometimes we say, well, I cried out to him and nothing changed. Keep crying. You remember your little children? When they would cry out to you, for the first 20 minutes, you wouldn't pay any attention. And then finally you go, okay, what do you want now? Now, of course, the Lord's not like that, but he wants us to cry out to him. He tells us to cry out to him. So rather than being anxious, rather than worrying, we are to bring these things to the Lord in prayer. We are to cast our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. He wants us to come with these things, and he wants us to pour these things out before him. He invites us to do that. He tells us to do that. So with prayer, supplication, and then with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, how do we add thanksgiving when it comes to these kinds of things? When we think about the difficulties, the struggles, the crisis that we're in, or something that we can see coming down the road, how can I be thankful? Well, I can only be thankful if I understand that these kinds of things are being used by God to do a greater work in my life. Now, I've said this before, and I think most of you agree with me. I am no fan of trials. I would prefer to just live a trial-free life. I feel that I could get along quite well with no problems. But evidently, God sees things differently than I do, because he quite often allows trials to come into my life. And sometimes I will look at something and I will think, you know, this shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be going through this. You know, for me, there's nothing worse than a problem that you have to solve that should have never existed in the first place. You know, it's sort of like a self-inflicted wound. Or, you know, it's a problem that you bring on yourself, and you know, those to me are the worst kinds of problems. Whenever I'm dealing with a problem that I've brought on myself, I'm always so frustrated in dealing with it, because I'm thinking, why am I doing this? If I wouldn't have done that other stupid thing, I wouldn't be having to do this thing right now that I'm not enjoying doing. Years and years ago, Cheryl asked me to hang a lamp on the wall in our house. And I said, sure. So I got out my drill, and I went over to a portion of the wall where she wanted the lamp, and I began to drill into the wall. And as I was drilling, you know, I could sense that I was hitting something there, but I thought, well, you know, this drill bit strong, I'm going to just push my way through it. So I did. I pushed my way through it. I backed off the drill, pulled it out, and suddenly water was spraying in my face and all over the living room. and I had hit the main water pipe into the house. And so I've got my thumb over the wall and I'm trying to keep the water from coming out. And I'm saying to Cheryl, go out and turn off the water. And I don't know how to turn off the water. And it was just a disaster. And it happened to be a holiday, so there were no plumbers available. And so I decided, okay, I can fix this. I did some plumbing. And as I cut into the wall and pulled out a piece of the drywall, I found that there was this new pipe that they were using. It wasn't copper pipe, which I thought would be fairly easy to fix. It was this plastic stuff called polybutylene. And so it just became this project that lasted about 8 hours trying to get it patched up enough just to get the water back on. That's one of those self-inflicted things that I'm talking about. And that whole afternoon, I just kicked myself over and over again, because to me, that was something that should not have happened. And you know, sometimes I look at certain trials and I feel the same way about them. I shouldn't be going through this. And sometimes there are things that I bring upon myself, but sometimes it's out of my control. Somebody else does something that's foolish or stupid, and then, you know, we're suffering the consequences of it. But as I was thinking about that, even this week, going through some challenging times and thinking, you know, why are we going through this? This doesn't feel good. This, I don't enjoy this. And, you know, if this person wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't be in this particular situation right now. And I'm sort of looking at this as, this is a big mistake. This is something that shouldn't be happening. But then I suddenly had the thought. I was reminded of a verse in 1 Peter, where Peter is talking about what we have coming in the future. We have this inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith. He says, and we rejoice in that, even though now presently. And then he says this, if need be, we are grieved through manifold testings. And that little phrase, if need be, struck me. And the Lord reminded me of that. And the Lord seemed to be saying, Brian, you don't understand this. You don't like this. This isn't pleasant. I understand that. But you know, you need to go through these things. So when I understand that I actually need to go through these things, that enables me to be thankful. That enables me to say, okay, Lord, thank you for this, because you are taking this situation and you're doing something in me that I can't really see needs to be done, but obviously you know what needs to be done, and so you're perfecting your work in me. That's the way that we can be thankful when we go through these things. And then he says, let your request or your concern be made known to God. That's the last step. You just take that issue, you take that problem, you take that situation, and you let that be known to God in prayer, through supplication, crying out to him, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I turn this thing over to you. Lord, I'm giving you this problem. And like I said, sometimes we have got to do that over and over and over again, because you know what we tend to do, right? You do it, I do it. I give the Lord the problem, and 5 minutes later, I've got it back. Isn't it true? I give him the problem, I turn it all over to him, and then 5 minutes later, I find that I'm trying to figure it out again. What about this, and what if I do that? And then I got to stop. Wait a second. No, I gave this to the Lord. It's not my problem. That's what the apostle is telling us to do. And so we're not to be anxious. We are to rejoice in the Lord. We're to pray with thanksgiving, we're to leave our request with him, and here's what God will do. God will take that problem that we give to him, and in exchange for that fear, that worry, that anxiety, he is going to give us his peace. He will give us his peace. Now, Paul refers to the peace of God here in an interesting way. He refers to it as a peace that passes understanding. I have found this. The more I try to understand the problem, the more depressed and anxious I get. If I'm going to receive that peace of God, there's a certain point where I just have to let go. I just have to say, I don't understand this. I don't understand how it's going to work out. But you know, when you look in the scripture and you see how God worked on behalf of his people, most of the time God did things that nobody ever would have figured out, nobody ever would have imagined, nobody would have ever dreamed that God would have done it the way he did it. So as we sit there trying to figure it out, trying to understand, well, okay, now how could God sort this out? Well, if he did this and then that happened, and you know, and then we work ourselves up again and we find ourselves right back in the same place, that's trying to obtain God's peace through understanding. But there's some of the things we can never understand. So we have to allow his peace to just come upon us and leave the understanding part to him. You see, that's the key. That's the faith key. Lord, I don't understand. I don't get it. I can't figure out for the life of me how you're going to sort this out. But I believe that you will. Because you're God. Because you're my Father. Because you love me. Because you have a good plan for my life. Because you said that all things are working together for good to those who love you. And so God will give us the peace, and that peace will keep, or literally the word for keep there is guard your heart and mind. You see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to attack us in our heart. He wants to attack us in our mind. He wants to get us filled with anxiety. He wants to get us worried about everything. He wants us to be in a state of depression, because if we're in a place like that, then we're basically ineffective for the kingdom. I can't do anything for the Lord. I'm too worried about everything. So I just have to sit and fret. But you see, I need a guard. I need a garrison around my heart and mind. And that's what God's peace does. It comes in and it guards me from those things. And you know, you will find, as I have found, the Lord is faithful. He comes and he brings those words of encouragement. Call to him and he will answer you. And there are those times, and even recently for myself, as I've called out to the Lord, he's come and he's given those promises. And you know, we have to lay hold of those promises by faith. In the last few weeks, the Lord has said different things to me that are promises. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." And I receive that word and I say, okay, that's a word from the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm just to be still and to know that he is God, to wait for him, to watch him work. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. And that's what I do. I stand on that promise. A friend of mine just randomly, it seemed, sent me a text message. I haven't had a whole lot of contact or conversation with him in quite a while. I don't know that I've ever received even a text message from him. And I get a text message and there's a word of encouragement. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Out of nowhere, he doesn't know anything that I'm going through. He doesn't know any of the struggles, the difficulties, the challenges that are going on in my life. And I receive this word and I think, that's the Lord. That's what the Lord's telling me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I wrote him back real quickly and said, thanks for that reminder. I'd forgotten. A few days later, he sends me another one. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And all of these words are words that are relevant to the particular struggle, difficulty, situation that we find ourselves in. And God will do that. You see, he's faithful. He brings us those. But what we've got to do is we've got to lay hold of it. You see, I have got to turn everything over to the Lord in faith, believing that he is going to do the right thing, and that's where the peace comes in. The peace comes in being able to trust God, that God is for me, not against me, and that God is going to work this situation out. And so God gives us his peace. That peace guards our heart and mind, and then this frees us up. You see, this sets me free then to meditate on and to concern myself with the things that matter. Jesus made it clear that worrying is a colossal waste of time. He said you can't change anything by worrying. And I love that last verse there, the 34th verse in chapter 6 that we read of Matthew, where he tells us, take no thought for tomorrow. And what are we always worried about? I'm always worried about tomorrow. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they do this? And what if they don't do that? And I'm always looking to the future. Jesus said, don't do that. Why? He said, there's enough trouble today. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. But the reality is God's with us today. And you know, he wants us really to take one day at a time. One day at a time. And sometimes the Lord brings us to that kind of pace in life. You know, we're used to planning ahead. I want to know what's going to happen next week, next month. I want to know what's going to happen next year. I want to know where I'm going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And you know, sometimes the Lord brings us to everything to a halt. And he says, you know, we're going to go one day at a time. And sometimes he even says, you know, we're going to go 1 hour at a time. And God, through all of that, is bringing us to a greater place of dependency on him. So what we then become free to do is meditate on and concern ourselves with the things that matter rather than wasting time worrying. We can put that energy toward being built up in the faith and useful for the cause of God's kingdom. Now, here's an interesting statistic that I think you might find encouraging. 92% of the things people worry about never happen. So you can leave here today with 92% of the things that you've been worried about. Just throw them off because they're never going to happen anyway. But maybe you're saying, but what about that 8%, you know? Well, the 8% are things generally that we don't have any control over anyway. But God has control. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of that word from Jesus there in Matthew 6. Take no anxious thought for your life. What is he saying through all of that? Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. All of this stuff. He's saying God takes care of all of this. Isn't he going to take care of you, oh, you of little faith? And look, this stuff wasn't just written for the people in biblical times. This stuff was written for us today. In the age of anxiety, God wants to free us from that anxiety so we can concentrate on the things that matter. What are the things that matter? Well, we read it there in verse 8. The things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, praiseworthy. So we can be focusing in on and putting our energy and our attention toward productive things for the kingdom. You see, what the enemy wants to do, in a sense, is he just wants to knock us out. He wants to sort of knock us out of the race by just getting us all weighed down with all of these burdens, all of these anxieties and worries and fears. And like I've already said, and like you know, there's plenty of stuff around us to lend itself to that. But we, unlike the Gentiles, we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. And so we can rest in that. And we are to do what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of these things that we tend to worry about, fret over, all of these things, God will take care of them. That's God's prescription for anxiety. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we do not have to live lives filled with anxiety. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to live under that cloud of depression. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to spend our days fretting and worrying about tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you today. And Lord, that you are looking to work in our lives. I think of that word that you gave us, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are dedicated to him. Lord, many of us today need you to show yourself strong on our behalf. So, Lord, would you do that in our lives today? Lord, we cast those burdens upon you. We want to leave them here today. We don't want to take them out of this room. We want to leave them in the hands of the one and the only one who can really deal with them. Thank you that we can do that. And we do that by faith this morning. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, and that you are a present help in time of trouble, and that we can indeed be still and know that you are God. Help us to do that, Lord.